हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गराधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। हरि बोल। ओके सो देन Bhagavad Sandarbha, Adhyayana 4, Adhikarana 1, Jiva's Entanglement and Liberation. Just now we can see. Okay. So this will be page 10. So Raghunath Das Babaji is speaking. Unavoidable for the conditioned jiva is the upadhi of the linga sharir, which he acquires from the moment of his captivity by maya, and which remains with him until he becomes liberated. At the time of death, the jiva changes his old gross body for a new one, but this is not, but not his subtle body. The subtle body transports the jiva with all his desires regarding material activity. When he leaves one gross body for another at the time of death. The details and principles of this change of the material body are described in the Chandogya Upanishad and the Brahma Sutra. It is known as Panchagni Vidya, the five fiery substances, which are Chit Agni, Vrishtyagni, Bhojanagni, and Reto Havanagni, etc. The nature and tendencies of the conditioned jiva in his new life and body are decided by the desires and samskaras, purificatory ceremonies of his previous life. He acquires his status and caste according to them. His works and actions in the present life are prompted by his position within the system of varnashram. And after death and the subsequent rebirth into a new body, the same process is repeated. These are the two coverings of the eternal spiritual identity of Jiva, the Stula Sharira and the Linga Sharira. Jiva Dharma, Chapter 15. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur elaborates the principle of oneness and difference in Chapter 5 of Vaishnava Siddhanta Mala as follows. Question. In the Vedas, both Bhagavan and the Jiva souls are spoken of being conscious, Chaitanya. Does that mean there's no real difference between the two? Answer, no. Bhagavan's consciousness is all-pervading, Vibhu Chaitanya, and the Jiva's consciousness is infinitesimal, Anu Chaitanya. The difference between the two is not imaginary. Bhagavan is the Lord of the Maya Shakti. He is never an illusion. The Jivas are subordinate to the Maya Shakti. They fall into illusion when they leave the shelter of Krishna. Okay, so basically, they're both conscious. They're both made of the same substance. Just Krishna is unlimited, the jiva is small. Krishna never comes under the control of the external energy, the jiva can. Or it means here we have, right? Question, how many types of beta difference are there? There are two types of beta, vyavaharika, conventional difference, and tattvika, essential difference. What is vyavaharika beta? Answer, this can be seen in the difference between a clay pot and a piece of cloth. These seem to be different things, but both originate from the same source, the soil of the earth. That means in the original or essential condition is soil. There's no difference between clay and cloth. The difference is merely conventional. What is tattva, tattvika veda? Answer, this is when one thing is different from another in its functions as well as in its original cause. Question, is the difference between the jiva soul and Bhagavan, vyaviharika or tattvika? Answer, tattvika. Question, how can that be? Because in no condition can the jiva become Bhagavan, right? Because they can; those others can all become earth. But this is, no, they'll never become Bhagavan. Question. Then how are we to understand the declaration of the Upanishads, Tattvamasi, you are the same? Answer. This declaration, taught to the great sage Sweta Ketu, means that the soul is distinct from matter because it is Chaitanya, consciousness. All living entities are spiritual beings, different from their bodies formed of unconscious matter. Thus they are the same, but it does not mean that the Anu Chaitanya is the Vibhu Chaitanya. Right, so that's the point, is that they're trying to become the Vibhu Chaitanya, but actually they should just be striving to actually be functioning on the platform of Chaitanya, rather than functioning on the platform of the gross and subtle bodies, you know, which is dead matter. Question. But there are scriptural statements declaring the oneness of the jiva with the all-pervading consciousness, Brahman. Answer. These statements are true, but they must be understood from the proper viewpoint. From the point of view of the individual soul, the difference beta between jiva and Brahman is eternal and true. But from the point of view of Brahman, the non-difference abheda is eternal and true. Thus, beta and abheda are both eternal and true. So from the point of the Lord, then there's non-difference. But from our point, there's difference. So that's the interesting thing, is that due to the avidya shakti, we try to make it that the non-difference is the main thing. But that's not our perspective, because we see the difference. Otherwise, why are we seeing that we're different already? Because in the view of Brahman, we aren't already. At this point, we're still his parts and parcels. And the material energy is his energy. So it's all one. You know, just like you see yourself, your possessions, your family, all is one. Right? But they see difference. Right? Does that make sense? So they're already seeing it in the one way. So he already has that possession of everything. That's remember, we were discussing before. That's his rasa. As one, his rasa is encompassing all things as his possessions. You know, as everything belonging to him. But then the individual living entity, they see the difference, that they are different from Krishna. They are conscious and they are different. And so then when that's seen in the line of service to Krishna, to please Krishna and devotion, then that has the transcendental position. When we see we're different and don't consider Krishna in the equation, that's then Maya. Right? Because point is if everything's belonging to him, you can't, there isn't so much of a difference. Right? But we're differently, we are conscious separately. Right, but Krishna is conscious of everything. Well, we're only conscious of ourselves, so that will be a difference there.
Yeah. Maharaj, it seems that this is a key aspect to get the right perspective to see the thing.
Yes,
the proper one, because it's always coming these topics. You know, there is the point of view of the Lord, and we have the point of view of the conditioned soul.
Yes.
So, what are the prerequisites or the things that we can develop in order to have the proper perspective?
Just by hearing these things, we slowly catch. It means you'll see us. Prabhupada's always talking about these things, but because of, you know, as we become purified, we start to become more aware of these things. Otherwise, in the beginning, we have a tendency we're not as aware.
Yes.
But otherwise, you hear practically every lecture Prabhupada's talking about these things. Mm-hmm. Because this is where the problem comes, is that we either see ourselves separate from Krishna without Krishna, or if we're considering, then we think we are Krishna.
Yes.
You know, so it's never Krishna as a person. It's always we are God. Or there is no God. But it's never the position that Krishna is a person, we're a person eternally. That point we generally tend to avoid. You know, if we see ourselves eternal, then God's just an impersonal aspect. And then when we get frustrated, then we try to become that impersonal aspect. Right? So there's always going to be this difficulty. That's why then the acharyas are always talking about these things. that.
This is related to what Srila Prabhupada said in Gita introduction about to have the right attitude.
Yes.
Which means the difficulty is to maintain that or to get
yes.
that in the beginning.
But that comes by, I mean, of course, it's by association,
yes,
sadhana, by practice. But as the heart gets purified, these things become easier and easier. It's because of impurity that we have a tendency to not see in this way. But as we get purified, then naturally we will see in this way. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So it's just a matter of our consciousness itself. That's why then there was that point before we were seeing in Chaitanya Charitamrita where Lord Chaitanya is talking about the importance of the jiva actually desiring to come to that platform.
Yes.
Right? So that's the spontaneous platform. Spontaneous isn't just this thing of where I'm doing whatever I want. The spontaneous is about we want to be able to serve Krishna. You know, and we want to be, that's the whole point, is that spontaneous, that we're serving Krishna because of the desire to serve Krishna rather than we're serving Krishna because Shastra says that's our duty.
Yes.
Right? Means, Vaidhi means I'm serving because Shastra says so. Because otherwise I would just try to enjoy myself, but that's not working out. So there's a dilemma. So how to solve that dilemma, right? So I can solve that dilemma by understanding that I'm the soul and not the body and try to make an endeavor to, function on that platform of the soul. And so therefore, since the soul is Chaitanya, therefore I have to perform activities that cultivate that Chaitanya. And so therefore I'm doing these activities. Spontaneous devotional service means I'm serving Krishna because I want to serve Krishna. It's that simple. I mean, people, of course, are unscrupulously going to try to tell us that, no, it's all about the Gopi Bhava and this and that. And so then you have to have this particular sadhana where you only read this and you do that. And, you know, you read it while you're underneath the covers, you know, and that. And so then when you read it, then it gives that whole transcendental experience and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And so, but this is an impurity that comes in from the sahajiyas, from the babajis in Vrindavan. It has nothing to do with reality. I mean, like zero. You know, the point is the principle is it's based on you want to serve Krishna. And that's why you're doing devotional service, because you want to serve Krishna, not because the Shastra tells you to. Right? So therefore, this principle, they're thinking, oh no, the Shastra says because I'm following rules. But the point is then no. And then it's you're doing this because you want to.
Yes.
That's why it says that even prema is a side thing. It's actually this rati is the main thing.
Yes.
Because if you have the desire to an attraction and attachment to Krishna, that's naturally with time going to result in prema.
Yes.
So in other words, the rati is what produces, what is the one that is the cause for the prema to arise.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? So that's the essential point. Otherwise, then all they do is replace the vaidhi with their own imaginary vaidhi. Oh no, but you have to do this. That's vaidhi. No, you're doing it because you want to do it. Like that. So this point, this simple point is always missed because the Babaji's, like I said, they reverse the process of devotional service where Shravana Dasa means hearing about your position and adjusting with your position as servant of Krishna. Varna Dasa then means being able to apply that service to Krishna in a specific form of attraction, right?
Yes.
So that's, but they reverse that in that they make it, no, I have a very specific form and that's what makes everything work. But if it's like Prabhupada says, first become conscious, then become Krishna conscious. If you're not conscious, how do you become Krishna conscious? So if you're not committed to serving Krishna and attracted to, how can it be specific? Like in the beginning, you just want to serve, and then whatever service is there, you do. Then with time, you may have specific service that you like to do. So this contamination is it's just like unaddressed. It's not a point that it's discussed. It's just taken for granted that, yes, no, when you become advanced in this, then all you want to do is hear about the gopis and Vrindavan and all that. But it's like, who said? The acharyas say you follow after footsteps of anyone Vrindavan, but that means spontaneous could mean anybody. Vrindavan, Bajbasis are on the platform of Ragatmika. So that means the cows, the trees, means this idea of spontaneous devotional service was introduced by Madhavendra Puri. Who's Madhavendra Puri? Is he a gopi? No. He's the tree under which Radha and Krishna sit. Right? Sukadeva Goswami, he's described, he's a parrot. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole point, is that somehow or another people have associated with these Babaji's and they've introduced these kind of things. And because they're mundane, they stick. And what's real, that doesn't stick. It's like, you know, how you say water off a duck's back. You know, duck feathers are like waterproof. You pour some water, gone. Like that. So as the heart becomes purified, then these things start to make sense. You're naturally attracted. But this whole idea is, no, there's a sadhana that you do, and somehow or another that sadhana, even though it's all by rules and all that, then they say that's spontaneous, when they're just describing Vaidhi Bhakti that they've made up by their own imagination. So technically that process that they're talking about is you know, it's not supported by Shastra and that. So it's down, it's made up, it's imaginary. It's actually from Pranamoy. So that's why you see political things, justice, economics, you know, health, sahajya, all these things so easily, just you can switch from one to the other. Like that, you know, prestige of birth, all these different things, it can all just, they're so easily interchangeable because they're all just dealing on that lower platform. That's the difficulty. That's why they're just so, we're so used to that.
Yes.
But when you say, oh, this is your duties you have to do that Shastra says, and oh no, that's a problem, that's Vaidhi. So that's the meaning, is that if this is easier than Vaidhi to catch, that means it must be lower. Because the point is spontaneous devotion becomes a purity. It's not just, I give you a mantra, I give you a something, and then now you can do it. So it must be some imaginary thing. Right? Because the point is you see, it always says, when the attraction for Krishna is like this, then these things go on. They're not saying that you have to do this and then you have to do that. It says that when you do this, then these things naturally come. Then you can take advantage of, you know, the association about hearing and chanting. You always want to hear and chant. You know, so it gives the symptoms. They say these symptoms are visible. One doesn't waste time. One has that full faith in Krishna. You know, one is very enthusiastic. You know, it mentions these things. So we're just saying, no, 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 we have a system that despite this, then it'll work, when none of the acharyas mention that. You know? So then that becomes the important aspect, is that we see is that, and what are they based on? Is that these difficulties, because they don't see the difference. They don't see where it's one and where it's different. Like that. For Krishna, it's one. For us, it's different. So where we want, we make it one, so that then we can be, you know, in a superior position. Because we have to remember that impersonalism doesn't have to mean only that we want to be God. It can also mean we want to be one of the Lord's associates. You know, like that we become advanced and we become like this and that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Where did you get that? Where did you get that service from? You hear about these other ones are doing. So now you're taking their service. You're saying you're doing. So how is that not impersonalism? That's their service. You appreciate their service. You follow in the footsteps of your servant. So if they tell you, do this now, that's your service. But if you just in your mind, yes, I'm going to go do this, and then I'm going to do that, that's impersonalism. It's not your service. Why would anybody want your pot of water? You know what I'm saying? Vishwanath's already bought a jug of water. Why do they need yours? You know what I'm saying? It's already there. Lalita's already putting kumkuma, you know, and then you're just going to get in there. You know, someone else is already pouring the water, you know, and you're going to be doing it. So unless they tell you to do it, it's not your service. It's their service. So therefore, following the footsteps means we see their service. We appreciate that service. We would like to be able to assist them in their service. That's rag anuga. Because that's the thing. We put the emphasis on rag anuga following the rag atmikas. And these others put the emphasis on the rag atmika. Their emphasis is that you become rag atmika. Okay, great. Yes. If you've come to the point of Vastu Siddhi, then you are rag atmika. But before Vastu Siddhi, you're Raganuga. So why put the emphasis there? You know what I'm saying? You've just given the kid, you know, $10,000 and told him to invest, right? You don't emphasize that, you know, yes, and then you'll be the billionaire. And then as a billionaire, you can do this and you can do that. No, he has to emphasize on what he's going to do with his $10,000. How he's going to invest it, how he's not going to spend it, how he's not going to waste it. And then when he becomes a billionaire, then he can talk. You understand? So that's the thing, is that everything's made cheap. That's the point of that. That's the meaning of sahajya. Sahaj means easy. So that's why it means we have no problem talking about these things, and we have no problem that these are very much part of our society and our method. So those who have a problem with it, oh, that's sahaja, they don't know what they're talking about either. It's not sahaja. That's our thing. Oh, no, but if you do it, no. You're saying if you do that, it's a matter of, it's an attitude. So that's the difficulty, is that one side throws out everything. And, oh, you do this, and the other side, you know, then accepts things that are not important. You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing. They accept the rules without knowing and throw out the spontaneous. The other one accepts the spontaneous without, you know, as rules and throws out the vaidhi. It's the same Niyamagraha, just the other side. Does that make sense? So that's why these are important, that we're non-different than Krishna, but we see the difference. Krishna sees the sameness. It goes back to the rasa. Therefore, there's the tattva aspect of it. And the vyaviharika, that's, you know, seeing the difference between one body and the next. That's vyaviharika. So this one's body is coming from a Brahminical background. This one's coming from a Kshatriya background. This one's coming from this. This one we found under a rock. This one we went out with one of those plaster, you know, putty knives and scraped off the sidewalk, you know, like that, and then brought them to the temple. You know, so that's the whole point, is that's Vyabhiharika, because that's just what is there. And so it's conventional because you do use them differently. You will use, like I said, the pot and the cloth. We don't put water in the pot and water in the cloth and put on the pot. You know, unless you're at a party and you've had a few too many drinks, then you might do that. But otherwise, you know, you won't do that. So we deal with someone who has a Brahminical nature, we deal with them in those services. Somebody who's a Kshatriya nature, we deal with them in different service. But as far as the soul goes, then that's tattvika, you know, so therefore they're the same. But they're all different than Krishna. So the whole point of tattvamasi, you are the same, is that you are the same in your consciousness. But we're Anu and he's Vibhu. You know, we're controlled by material energy. He never is. Because you see, as the impersonalists, they say he's controlled. If he's a person, he's controlled. You know, and I'm thinking I'm not a person, so I'm not controlled, so I'm superior. It's like, oh, it's just false ego. So we have to be very, very careful because they're just two sides of the same coin. Right? Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, so, okay, here, that point about, okay, from the point of view, okay, these statements are true, but they must be understood from the proper viewpoint. From the point of view of the individual soul, the difference, beta, between Jiva and Brahman is eternal and true. But from the point of view of Brahman, the eternal difference, abeta, is eternal and true. Thus, beta and abeta are both eternal and true. Question, but isn't this contradictory? Answer, the Lord's potency is inconceivable. Achintya Shakti, right? So therefore, Achintya Beta Beta. Within his potency, all contradictory truths exist in complete harmony. But because the jivas are so limited, they think that the resolution of such contradictions is impossible, right? Because we're limited, we say it's impossible. He's unlimited, how is it impossible? Right? So that's the whole point, is always looking at it from our perspective, that will have a weakness. So that's why then you have to be able to see from both our perspective and Krishna's perspective. Then you get the proper balance. You have to know that both things are there. Question. If both viewpoints are true, why do the devotees of Krishna condemn the philosophy of oneness? Answer. Because those who propound the philosophy of oneness say that only the oneness of the soul with the supreme is eternal. And all difference is temporary, right? So that's where the problem comes up. That's why Prabhupada always uses the word exclusive oneness or exclusive monism. That's a problem. Monism is not the problem. It's exclusive monism is the problem. Because that means then monism is eternal, but beta is not eternal, right? Sri Madhavacharya has established that the difference is also eternal. And by proving this, he has ascertained the truth of Achinta Beda Beda, simultaneous inconceivable oneness and difference. Those who propound either only Beda, difference, or Abeda, oneness, adhere to a one-sided and incomplete philosophy. Question, who teaches the doctrine of oneness? Answer, the Nirvisesha, impersonalist philosophers, teach the doctrine of oneness. The Savishesha, personalist philosophers, do not accept this doctrine. Question, who teaches the Savishesha philosophy? Answer, all the Vaishnava Sampradaya schools teach it. Question, how many Sampradayas do the Vaishnavas have? Answer, there are four. All of these schools teach personal devotion for Bhagavan. Thus, each in his own way differentiates the Lord as the object of devotion from his energies. There is no actual disagreement between the four Vaishnava schools because they all rejected the one-sided philosophy of non-distinction between Bhagavan and the Jivas. Question. There's no disagreement between the four Vaishnava schools. Why did Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accept only the doctrine of Sri Madhvacharya? Answer. The special characteristic of Madhvacharya's doctrine is that it very clearly and thoroughly defeats the doctrine of oneness. When the jiva thinks himself one with God, he simply places himself into unnecessary distress. To lead the souls along the path away from distress, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the doctrine of Madhvacharya, but by so doing, he did not minimize the importance of the three Vaishnava schools, right? The other schools. So what he's seeing is that they're saying oneness, he's establishing the difference. So that means both aspects are there, right? Okay. Yes.
Also in the life history of Sridhar Swami,
Yes.
mentioned that he is actually from the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya.
Right.
And then he came to actually again balance back like the Madhvacharya's writings, and then he added the oneness aspect also again back. And that's how his writing is just 100 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appreciated his writings more, and our Acharyas generally quote his commentary more because it is more like closer to Achintya Bheda Veda Tattva.
So Sridhar Swami came after Madhvacharya. I always thought he was way before.
No, 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 Maharaj. He's just 100 years before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Oh. Oh, it's Vishnu Swami is way before.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, okay, Vishnu Swami is way before, but Sridhar Swami comes. Okay, so then he brings in more of a balance there. Okay, but he's in the Rudra Sampradaya, no?
Yes, 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 Maharaj.
Yes, okay. Yes, sir.
Maharaj, but do we know anything of the original philosophy of Vishnu Swami? Because what we actually have now, it's a philosophy of Vallabha, but
right.
the Vishnu Swami, is it lost, or what's the position of that?
That I know of, it'll be the that tattva aspect will be the same. It's just that Vishnu Swami, it appears that he's made the parental rasa the prominent point of worship in their line. That seems to be the main thing. But otherwise, I expect the commentary. He hasn't written his own commentary that I know of. So therefore, he'll be using, Vishnu Swami's commentary on Vedanta Sutra. I haven't heard that there's another one. So Nimbarka will have written the commentary. Vishnu Swami, Madhva, Ramanuja have written, right? So then for us, then Govindabhasya has been written by Baladev Vidyabhushan. And then Shankar, of course, has his. Right, so before Shankara, the Vishnu Swami and Nimbarka will be talking about the impersonal, but they won't be specifically aimed at the Mayavadis. Well, then we see with Ramanuja and Madhva, then they'll be specifically addressing the Mayavadi principles. Right, we also will do that, and as Prabhu pointed out, then. Sridhar Swami has brought in the aspect to balance the oneness and difference.
Okay,
right, so it's been prepared. So the line is come along. The Acharya is have been there. Shankara is there. Then it's been removed. But now to do that last, then the emphasis had to be on the difference. So then Sridhar Swami brings in more of that balance. Now that Lord Chaitanya comes along, is that all right?
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Something, Haladar? No?
Also, Maharaj, he accepted sannyas. Sridhar Swami accepted sannyas in the Mayavadi line for that purpose, in the Shankara line. He is actually initiated here, and then he accepts Shankara line, and then he balances back and writes the commentary. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came, then it's much more easy for him to just wipe out completely.
Yeah. I think also you have the aspect that the Vaishnav sannyas wasn't so much being practiced. So the only sannyasis around were the Shankarites. That's why you see even the Vaishnavs were taking sannyas from the Shankarites like that. But with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, then he just brought it back into the Tridandi sannyas. Because otherwise, Manu mentions Tridandi sannyas. There is no, the Mayavad, the Ekadandi sannyas, that doesn't exist. That's created by Shankaracharya. Otherwise, before, sannyas meant Tridandi. There wasn't something else. So then, even if you were an impersonalist, you'd be taking Tridandi sannyas. So then, in the Kali, that at that time, then even if you're Vaishnav, you're taking Shankara sannyas. Because it's an order within Varnashram So it's not that it's a philosophy. So then you can be Vaishnav and still taking that sannyas. But the oneness would have come from, because he comes in Vishnu Swami's line. So that would have been the Vishuddha Dwait. So it would have already had that oneness aspect in it. I don't think he brings in the oneness from the Shankara line. You know what I'm saying? The oneness is already there in their line, because they're emphasizing how, you know, in other words, since Krishna sees everything as his, and so then we understand that everything is his, therefore then we try to engage ourselves being Krishna's and everything else being Krishna's in Krishna's service. You know what I'm saying? That's all that they're doing. That they're emphasizing that side of it. You know, but because that, then you bring out the oneness and people don't catch the personal. So they just catch the oneness. Then there's a problem. So Madhvacharya just left that part out and just say there's two. Right. So that's the thing, is because we see, you know, as Prabhupada's saying, is that everybody tends to be impersonalist. You know, like they said, nirvishe shunyavadi paschati desha. So that means basically everywhere it's all impersonal. Even those who claim to be personal and claim to be, you know, God conscious, they, if you press, then that impersonal aspect, you know, can come out. And so then that aspect of emphasizing the difference and then is there, but we don't emphasize the difference at the expense that the oneness aspect is not there. So that's why then he's saying that he accepted Madhva's line, because then it completely throws out the impersonal aspect and then establishes the personal. Because they're taking it that the Brahman aspect is the supreme. Well, we're taking, no, the personal aspect is supreme. Right? Does that make sense? So he's not just making a difference between Brahman and the Jiva, it's between the person, the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan, and the Jiva. But something more, sir? No? Okay. Thus, the Supreme Lord creates the universe by his natural Maya Shakti, and Jiva is bewildered by it. 8 verses destroy doubt through questions and answers. Vidura speaks, Brahman katam bhagavatas chin matrasya vi karinaha. Lilaya vapi yu jaran nirgunasya guna kriya. O Brahmana, how is it possible that the Lord, who is spiritual, without change and beyond the gunas, becomes connected with actions and gunas, even if it is done by his independent will? Srimad Bhagavatam 3.7.2, right? So the Lord, who is spiritual, without change, without guna, then he becomes connected with the actions and gunas, even if he's not directly dealing with it. So how does this work? You know, like that, because they're wondering if, okay, he's controlling that, but he's indirectly dealing. So how does this all function? Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. As described in the previous chapter, the difference between the super soul, the supreme soul, and the living entities is that the activities of the Lord in creating the cosmic manifestation are performed by the Lord through the agency of his multifarious energies. But this manifestation is bewildering to the living entities. The Lord is therefore the master of the energies, whereas the living entities are subjugated by them. By asking various questions about transcendental activities, Vidura is clearing the misconception that when the Lord either descends on the earth in his incarnation or appears himself with all his potencies, he too is subjected to the influence of Maya, just like an ordinary living being. This is generally the calculation of less intelligent philosophers who consider the position of the Lord and that of the living entities to be on the same level. Vidura is hearing the great sage Maitreya refute these arguments. The Lord is described in this verse as chinmatra, or completely spiritual. The personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies to create and manifest many wonderful things, both temporary and permanent. because this material world is the creation of his external energy, but thus appears to be temporary. It is manifested at certain intervals and manifested for some time and again dissolved and conserved in his own energy. So to us, it appears that it's temporary, when actually it's not, and it's eternal energy, but its manifestation is temporary. Because of that manifestation be temporary, since we're eternal, we're looking for eternal manifestation. So even though the external energy is an eternal energy, its manifestation is always temporary. Well, the spiritual energy is an eternal energy, but its manifestation is always eternal. So ourselves being eternal, then we can relate with the eternal manifestation of the internal potency. Because being a person, we're eternal. Therefore, you expect that your form will be eternal, you know, and your position will be eternal. And so the material world, even though the energy itself is eternal, its manifestation being temporary, that temporary manifestation of the surroundings and our body, that becomes a disturbance. And so because of that, then we're not satisfied. So we turn towards the spiritual understanding, where we transfer the consciousness from the material here to the spiritual. Right? Then that platform works. Vidura is hearing the great sage Maitreya refute these arguments. The Lord is described in this verse as Chinmatra, completely spiritual. The personality of Godhead has unlimited potencies to create and manifest many wonderful things, both temporary and permanent. Because this material world is the creation of its external energy, it thus appears to be temporary. It is manifested at certain intervals, maintained for some time, and again dissolved and conserved in its own energy. As described in Bhagavad Gita 8:9, bhutva bhutva praliyate. But the condition creation of his internal potency, the spiritual world, is not a temporary manifestation like the material world, but is eternal and full of transcendental knowledge, opulence, energy, strength, beauties, and glories. Such manifestation of the Lord's potencies are eternal and are therefore called nirguna, or free from all tinges of the modes of material nature, even up to the mode of material goodness. The spiritual world is transcendental even to material goodness, and thus is unchangeable, right? Because goodness, because it has the aspect of some touch of passion, ignorance, it will change. But pure goodness means there's no passion or ignorance, so therefore there's no change, because passion means creation, ignorance means destruction. So even if something more in the mode of goodness, let's say like the heavenly planets, it is manifest for a longer time, but it's still destroyed, right? The bodies are destroyed, everything. Or you go up to Satyaloka, then it lasts even longer, but it is also destroyed because there it is goodness. So even though it may be more and more goodness and less passion and ignorance, there's still creation and destruction because a little bit of it's still there, right? Then eventually, then it's only the spiritual world that is pure goodness. That then is able to function without any creation or destruction, because there is no other function there. Right? So creation and destruction are something of the material world. Maintenance, that's the spiritual platform. It's always maintained eternally. So here, goodness is there, so there's maintenance, but because it's not the only mode, therefore there's creation of passion, so it keeps going through cycles. Does that make sense? Yes? No? Okay. The spiritual world is transcendental even to material goodness, and it thus is unchangeable. Since the Supreme Lord of such eternal and unchangeable qualities is never subjugated by anything like material influence, how can his activities and form be conceived to be under the influence of material Maya, as is the case with the living entities? Right? Because the Lord, since he is of eternal and unchangeable qualities, So then why do we think that he's under the material nature? That's the thing, is we don't understand what is the difference between the two. It's just lack of knowledge, that's all. The impersonalists don't know anything beyond the material creation. There is some little bit of understanding of Brahman. Because even in material consciousness, Krishna, because everything here is based on Brahman, therefore, there's a little bit of understanding of Brahman being the source, Brahman being eternal, Brahman being unchanging. But that's the limit of the knowledge, right? So we see is the rest of the time, all they're doing is filling it up with speculation, you know, like that. So by the logic, they keep themselves very busy. But otherwise, then that's all the knowledge they have, actually. You know, Brahman is unchanging. And Brahman is, you know, eternal, you know, it's consciousness. That's a few things. That's all they know. And then, but at the same time, as you see, they contradict themselves in this by how they try to explain the creation and this and that. So with this incomplete knowledge, then they apply the mundane aspects to it. We're limited, we're controlled, therefore God must be controlled. Right? So then, but they're trying to become that God, and then where all this comes from, and if it's not from God, where does it come from? So they have a lot of problems explaining everything simply because they don't understand the Lord and his energies. As soon as they accept the Lord and his energies, all these difficulties go away. A juggler, a magician, displays many wonders with his acts and arts. He can become a cow by his magical tactics, and yet he is not that cow. But at the same time, the cow is displayed by the magician, is non-different from him. Similarly, the material potency is non-different from the Lord because it is an emanation from him. But at the same time, that manifestation of potency is not the Supreme Lord. Right? Saying like the magician manifests himself as a cow, but actually that cow is different than him. You know, it's just, but it's non-different from him, is that he's arranging it, but it's still, he's not a cow. Right? So his energy is emanating from him, but it doesn't mean he becomes that energy. The energy is already non-different from him, not that he has to become the energy. See, we being an energy, we'll think in the context of energy and think that if he deals with energy, we're dealing with energy, we're energy, so we're like energy. He deals with energy, he has to be like energy. No, he deals with energy, he's energetic. So that's why we can't understand him on our own. Only by his grace, then we can understand. So we have a little bit of an idea of Brahman, because that's also an emanation from him. It's non-different from him. But it's also coming from him, so we can kind of relate that we're you know, us being an emanation and Brahman being the you know, the spiritual rays. Therefore, then we have a connection here. So I can become those spiritual rays. No, you're a different Shakti, right? It means we're a Shakti, and that's not Shakti. That's Shaktiman, but in an impersonal feature. And then there's the impersonal Shaktis. So the point is we can't understand who we are because we're not having complete knowledge. So it's only the Vaishnavas have a complete knowledge. They can actually understand who they are as jivas and see how they fit into all this very nicely. And how the Lord is therefore transcendental to all this and how we can become entangled. He can't. The Shakti comes from him. How will he be overwhelmed by his Shakti? Right? So we're talking tattva here, how he'll be. He, as a person, may voluntarily put himself under the Shakti, but why would he put himself under the external energy? External energy means it has nothing to do with him. Right? Now, if you're doing activity, you do an activity because of the benefit you're going to get. So if he's performing an activity, he's conscious of himself in relationship to the devotees. So then how would he ever be under external energy, which means that you're conscious of yourself without God, without the Supreme? You know, it's like, you know, in the Krishna book, then it talks about in Dwarka how Krishna would get up in the morning, because the Shastra says that you're supposed to meditate upon the Super Soul after getting up. He would sit down and meditate on himself. So God is always God conscious. You know, now if he's just seeing himself as Bhagavan, there may not be so much that aspect of him being the supreme, being the controller of all his energies and this and that is God. But he's always conscious of himself as Bhagavan. Right. And so then, you know, like you have an identity. That's how you function. When you lose that identity, you don't know how to function. So we see Krishna is always very comfortable functioning in his pastimes in Vrindavan because he identifies as the son of Maharaj Nanda. There is no problem there. Right? So therefore, then we see that that aspect of him being connected with himself is always going to be there. So material nature means you're not connected with the self. The consciousness is not connected with the Supreme Self. He is the Supreme Self. He is consciousness. He's always conscious of himself. So he could never be under illusion. How could he be under the material energy when material energy, by definition, simply means you've forgotten about the Lord? He doesn't forget about the Lord. Right? By yoga maya, he doesn't think of himself as God, but he's still conscious of himself. Right, because if it wasn't, then the Brajabasis, they're absorbed in him of Nanda Kumar, and so if they were, but they're considered in the topmost transcendental position. So they're on that transcendental position because of their absorption in Krishna, and Krishna's identifying as that Krishna, because otherwise, how is he the Vishaya and the devotees of the Ashraya? There's a relationship. You know what I'm saying? Krishna is not standing there with the gopis. The gopis are looking at him. And he doesn't look back and go, you know, what are you looking at? You know, he doesn't do that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? Like that. So he does drive chariots, but you can't, but that doesn't mean that you can make the similar connection there, right? So the point is that they're absorbed in him as the son of Maharaj Nanda. He identifies as the son of Maharaj Nanda, and it's all the topmost transcendental epitome of spiritual perfection. So how can he be under Maya? The jiva doesn't know they're the jiva. They don't know that they think they're the body. Even if they give up thinking their body, it's just the jiva. They don't see themselves in context with God. This is the meaning of maya, that you don't see things in connection with God. You just see the energies of the Lord and how they connect with yourself. That's maya. As soon as you see that it's connected with Krishna, there is no more maya. That's right. You know, maya, Krishna Surya Sama. Maya Hoy Andakar, right? So as soon as you have Krishna, there is no Maya. So Krishna can't be controlled by his external energy. It emanates from him, but that doesn't, how can he be controlled by it? Because he still identifies with himself. So there's him and there's his energy. Now, even you have the pastime as Lord Chaitanya, where he interacts with Maya Devi herself and Simantana Deep, but that doesn't mean that he loses his position. He's still who he is. So in that way, he's the ultimate, you could say, husband of Maya Devi. But he's not the one that interacts with her as husband. Krishna, his transformation as Shiva, that's where he interacts with her. Does that make sense? So it's impossible for Krishna to be under the illusory energy. You know, like here, he gives all these acts and non-different, like the material world, the universal form, it's non-different from him. So it's him. But at the same time, it's different from him. That's the whole point of the third verse of the Chakra Shloki. It's all him, but he's different from that. He's beyond that. He's the goal that you're trying to get. And then by all these things, you're trying to understand him directly and indirectly. Right. So then you have those things. And so that just shows up. That's how you're going to get the absolute truth, is by always seeing Krishna directly and indirectly. So, you know, directly is how we hear and chant about him, but also indirectly through his energy, so we can also understand it's all him. So, yeah.
Maharaj, just about the question of the, it was said here, juggler, magician. So it seems that Krishna is a supreme magician, and, yeah, and Maya is like producing the magic, attracting the living entity.
Yeah, she's the assistant magician.
Yes, assistant magician.
You know, the one that always comes out and does all the things and all the, yeah, that's Maya.
Yes, because it's when we are young, actually, even when we are old, it's very easy to be captivated by a magician or by Maya.
Yes, 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 yes. Because we don't know.
Yes, yes.
This is a, but once one knows, then one is, you know, it's harder to be. One appreciates that they've done something, but you know, ultimately, it's just magic. I mean, ultimately, there's some technique.
Yes. When we know the tricks, it's okay. When we know the
tricks. In other words, if someone can do something that you don't know about how it's done, then you're impressed.
Yes.
You know, but it can still all be explained.
Yes.
You know, like I saw one magician, he was explaining his card trick as he went.
Yes.
And so then he explained it as here and there, and he picked it and got somebody from the crowd and did the whole thing like that. And he had the things like that. And then and everybody was impressed. Then he showed that the table that he had was a special table, and he had a box. Yes. Right. And on the box, then you open the box and you can reach in, and he pulls out a box of cards.
Yes.
But then he showed that the actual box was hollow, and it goes down underneath the table. Table being a round table, it had 52 packs of cards. So therefore, then you think, okay, he says, he told somebody, okay, pick a card.
Yes.
Right? And whichever card he picks, he has 52 packs of cards in which that card is on the top.
Yes.
Right. And so then, and he came out drinking a mug of what do you call it? You know, whatever it was he was drinking. And he puts it down on the table. But he showed that had a magnet. And as he turns the cup, it turns the whole table. And so the one he wants is then right where he can pull it out. And he explains all that. And everybody's going, oh, okay, wow, cool. Because the whole thing of the trick is to. Sure, is to, you know, bewilder everybody. So why is he explaining everything? And then having explained all this, and now everybody thinks they know, then he pulls the cloth off the table, opens the thing, and inside on that, it was only a piece of paper that was printed on packs of cards. So there were no packs of cards. Right? So he made an illusion. Then he explained the illusion, and then he showed that what he explained wasn't actually real. So the whole thing is that people have the thing as though there is some way it works.
Yes.
But then now if they can show that you can't understand it.
Yes.
So that's why you see these magicians, you know, the material magicians, sometimes for a particular trick, they work for years to get it to work exactly the way they want. You know, it takes them years to be able to practice it and get it exactly right. But for Krishna, it's just his will, his energies work according to his direction. He wants it to do this. That's the way it does. But that's the point. He is the one who wills, not the energies. The energies, their desire is simply to please Krishna. They act in their natural position. We being on the edge, we can be attracted by material energy. They're so big, why would they get attracted? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, let us say you have an adult, right? A mature adult. Okay, here, you can have this Lamborghini car here. Here are the keys. Or yes. I have this nice little toy here. You know, nice, good replica. You know, which do you want? You ever going to choose the little car and not the full car? Never. But for the kid, I can get him to take that little car.
Yes. Yes.
Because he's small. Yes. He can be overwhelmed. So we're jivas. We can be overwhelmed by the material energy. The others are big. They're not overwhelmed. How will they be overwhelmed? Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
We're 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. That's it. Radharani is unlimited. She expands into the Astasaki. They're parts of unlimited. And then their expansions are also parts of unlimited. We're jivas. You just push your fingers together as hard as you can. It's still bigger than us. Does that make sense? Yeah. So therefore we can become overwhelmed. But by nature, we're an expansion of the internal potency from Sambit. So our natural proclivity is to serve Krishna like the other energies, because even external energy is serving Krishna. So the point is we can take it that I can enjoy this energy other than Krishna. Without Krishna, while the others, they never come under that kind of influence. Maya doesn't even come under that influence. You know? So that's the difficulty. It's that we can, they won't. So the point is Krishna, he being the origin of all, why would he come under his energies? Otherwise, as soon as he comes, they wouldn't function. They're dependent on him. If he comes under their control, then they're not over-functioning anymore. Because if he forgets themselves, they're connected with him, then how does it work? You know what I'm saying? But the internal potency, by his own willpower, he comes on. So he wants them to be able to cover. So he willingly is not understanding. But at every moment, he can understand. Because you could say, because the doubt comes up, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur brings up, that the doubt may arise that if he's Mugdata, where he doesn't know all these things, then when you offer prayers to him, then he, you know, who's going to hear it? But the point is, he's always Sarvajna, always knowing everything. Just he chooses for the pastime to not be under his, you know, thinking in that way. You know, it's like the big man, he's running the whole country. But his kid wants to play. And so he forgets about the country willingly. And then he's just there on the carpet playing with the kid. Right? But if something comes up, he's immediately there. It's not that, you know, prime, you know, whatever it is, one of the ministers walks in and who are you? You know, I'm busy here. No, he immediately. So the whole point is that it's just part of his pastimes that he deals in that way. And that's the sweetest part, is where he, you know, becomes overwhelmed by his energies. But the thing is he's still their support. They're the ashray, he's the vishray. And it's because everything is his, therefore interacting with his energies isn't the problem for him. Because he's still the support for them. He's still the object of the worship. Even he worships them, but he's still, it's him who everything is dealing with one aspect of one feature of what's his. Does this, any of this make any sense? Or?
Yes, Maharaj, yes.
Yeah?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, so the whole point is it's that because we're so used to looking at everything from our perspective, we can't see anything beyond that. And so what's impossible for us, we'll say that's impossible for Krishna, but it's not. He's beyond all this. But at the same time, we have to know that that's him, not us. He's the one like this, not us. right? We're limited. That's just the way we are. I mean, point is we may like, we may not like, but that's why wouldn't we like? Because we want to be unlimited. We want to be God. So it's not still part of the disease. Point is he's like that. And so then what's the problem? That's why we worship him, because he's the most attractive. He's the source. If we find the Shakti is beautiful, he's the source of that. So he's the most beautiful. We find, you know, these qualities are very nice, therefore they're from. So that means the source of everything will be the most beautiful, the most wonderful. And therefore, then we worship him as the source of all these things. At the same time, he being the source of everything, he still can interact with us, because he being an individual, whatever expands from him still is also individual. That's the uniqueness of him. Right? Therefore, we as an expansion of him can interact with him. So he's conscious of everything and we're conscious of him.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
The Lord's transcendental knowledge and potency always remains the same. They do not change, even when displayed in this material world. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord descends on the earth by his own internal potency, and therefore there's no question of his becoming materially contaminated, changed, or otherwise affected by the modes of material nature, because his transcendental knowledge and potency always remain the same. So this is just one of his energies, and it's an inferior energy. So it's inferior because there's nothing there to attract spirit. It's one of his spiritual potencies, but because of the unconscious nature of it, what do you interact with? Right? So Krishna, what is he interacting with? He's interacting with a living entity through the medium of the form they're in. But in the spiritual world, that form is non-different. So everything in the spiritual world is all conscious. You're interacting with it. So what's so fun about interacting with something that's dead matter? Does that make sense? Like that. So people are interacting, but they're interested in the potency that is Krishna. So they're not actually even interested in the dead matter itself. They're interested in the potencies that dead matter is representing or displaying. You know what I'm saying? It's just like this. You have a bunch of rubber, right? Some plastic, some metal, some glass. And let's say we have two piles of this, okay? One pile, is, you know, fairly reliable and all that. If anything goes wrong, it's fairly easy and inexpensive to correct. The other pile, then you have to be extremely careful. And if anything does go wrong, it's extremely expensive to deal with, right? The one is easy to keep. The other one you have to be so careful about. Which pile of rubber, you know, metal, plastic, and glass is better to work with, right? The inexpensive one, right? But the inexpensive one doesn't carry the potency of prestige. And the other one does. So therefore, for prestige, I'm willing to put in that consciousness, effort, and money because of the prestige I get from. Otherwise, as far as rubber, glass, and metal, there's not a whole lot of difference. We've just said, you know what I'm saying? That's all. You know, because we say it's a prestige. Oh, it's Corinthian leather, you know, so therefore, okay, yeah, that's prestigious, but you know what I'm saying? The dog will chew on any of it. Doesn't matter. He'll chew on the Corinthian leather. He'll chew on the, you know, the regular old synthetic. He'll chew on anything. It doesn't matter to him. So that's the whole point, is that potency of Krishna that comes through, that's the thing that we're attracted to. We're not actually attracted to the dead matter. Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's a very nice building, the beauty of it. It's the beauty we're attracted to, not the material or the prestige of it or the economic value of it. You know, oh, you like this home, but it's a plain home, yes, but the investment value is very great because this particular kind of home and this particular kind of neighborhood, then everybody is wants it. You know, so it's a good investment. Well, there's some of these places that are very elaborate, you know, fancy houses, but no one wants to buy them. So they're bad investments. You sink $10 million into that, but you can't sell it. You know, you're thinking, wow, you know, nobody wanted to buy this. It's been on sale for, you know, been up for sale for the last 30 years. You know, I'm surprised. That's the reason. You know, does that make sense? So we have that aspect that the living entity is bewildered by these things, but it's actually the Lord they're still attracted to. Right? So that's the whole point, is that the transcendental living entities aren't illusioned. They only see the Lord. Like Prabhupada said, the advanced devotees don't see material energy. They see the Lord. They can see the variety of forms that are there. But, you know, in other words, the Vyaviharika aspect they can see, but they see it all in the context of the tattva. They see that it's all Krishna. Is that okay?
Yes. Yes. They see the tricks of Maya, and they don't fall into the tricks.
Yes, they see that, but even they can be absorbed in Krishna where they just don't see Maya at all. Or they can be aware when they see others, they can see how they're absorbed. And what is the particular potencies of Krishna that they're attracted to?
Yes, yes.
So externally, when they look, they'll see the same things you see, but they'll see it all connected to Krishna in some way or another, while we just see it connected with Maya and whatever goes along with that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
This is what Srila Prabhupada was saying in his prayers.
Mm.
When you arrive in America, you know,
Yeah, they're so absorbed that how will they listen? How will they hear?
Yes.
So it's only by Krishna's grace that they'll be able to hear. Yes. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.